This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. We're here on the first day of deer season. Our show this morning is pre-recorded. We won't be taking any calls, but we ask you to stand by and listen because we did record the show this week. We've got Brian Eiler here with us from the Maryland Wildlife and Heritage Service. And as is becoming our tradition here, over the last several years, we've asked God. Yes, we believe in God the Creator. We've asked God to watch over all the hunters out there going afield this morning, and we've asked our guest, Phil Norman, who's actually on a hunt right now at in Howard County. Phil is the program director out there for the Howard County Deer Management Program. And Phil, would you mind asking God's blessing on our hunters and a prayer for safety, please?
Never mind doing that at all. Always glad to. And Father in heaven, we do come to you thinking first of safety and of all these good men and women that are headed afield right now. We ask you to bless and keep us safe. Keep us from injury, from accident. Keep us wise in how to use our tree stands and firearms. And then also we pray for success, that we would provide for our families, provide for the hungry, and that we would help to keep good stewardship of the resources you've given us, the deer and the habitat we have here. We thank you for everyone involved in this endeavor, the hunters, the biologists, the managers, and we expect great things from you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Phil. We appreciate that. We know you're busy this morning here on a hunt in Howard County, and just for a note, how's the managed hunt going in Howard County this year?
So far, we've been going well despite some weather issues. You know, we've had some tough weather this year.
Yeah, we have.
Late October, something happened.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but we've had to cancel four of our hunts because of weather. But had the second best harvest, single day harvest we've ever had last week at the Middle Production Environmental Area. We took 33 deer.
Wow.
And we're somewhere, total harvest so far for the program, we're somewhere in the upper 70s. Don't remember the exact number.
I got a call from a friend, and you may have heard about this. 2 years ago, I was hunting a particular stand on Middle Patuxent and saw just a giant buck in there, and didn't have an opportunity to take a shot at him. I was buck qualified and did not have an opportunity at him. And my friend called while I was in Maine last week and said, "Hey, I was on stand such and such," and I said, "Before you tell me what happened, I'm going to tell you what happened. You saw a giant buck, and I hope you got it." He goes, "No, I didn't get it," but he said it's still back there. So, yeah, not that we're after giant bucks in the program, and I have no problem at all taking a nice doe, but it's nice to know that he's still around back in there, and I think I'm on that stand in a future hunt, so I'm looking forward to that.
I also noted that you didn't mention what stand number that was exactly.
I'm not going to, no.
Hey, we got
it. Was, hey, Phil, there were 40 or so stands on the MPEA. It was one of them.
Yes.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much.
I'll
let you get back to work. You have a great day.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be seeing you.
All righty, bye-bye. Hey, Brian Eiler.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? TV star.
Doing good.
Yeah, we saw you on the news the other night, huh?
Sometimes I branch out from radio and do a little TV.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the senior media, so we'll allow you to do that with the newcomers from time to time.
Thanks.
Yeah, they have pictures, I understand.
Yeah, they do, actually.
Really? As this is the theater of the mind, you know, I mean, I can create a picture
exactly
for these deer hunters in particular. You're sitting in your stand, you know, and everything's quiet. All of a sudden, you hear the leaves start to crunch a little bit. You think it's a squirrel, and you look around, and it's not a squirrel. It's a deer. Here comes a deer.
Right. Much more
and
creative.
And it's a buck.
Much more creative.
Sure,
radio,
of course. Absolutely.
So, yeah. TV takes
all the mystery out of it.
Exactly.
Sure. But I do recall that you were talking about deer strikes on the highway.
Yep, it's that time of the year.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, the bucks are chasing the does, and the does are running from the bucks.
Exactly. So
I've had more close encounters this year. I actually struck one about a year ago out on 70, and I told the listeners about that.
State Farm, they do a projection for the industry, for the insurance industry, and for all of the states, and they have Maryland. We're around 32,000 a year, they estimate now, in Maryland.
32,000?
Yeah. So, you know, if you times that by $3,000 or whatever the average cost is,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. That's a lot of money. So it really is.
And that's why we have one of the reasons why we have a very aggressive management program here in Maryland.
Exactly.
Because we
try to keep those numbers in check.
Basically created perfect habitat for white-tailed deer. The Maryland Public TV called it Creatures of the Forest Edge.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I was talking to a friend here the other day. He was talking about the tremendous amount of deer on the city-county line here in Baltimore County and in the neighborhoods and in the yards.
Right.
And it's just, you know, burgeoning population. Yeah. Hey, we had a question a couple weeks ago. Baltimore City. Any opportunities for deer hunting in Baltimore City inside the city limits?
Well, they have a strict firearm policy, I know.
Right.
So, you know, firearms hunting is definitely, you know, off unless it's something.
Yeah, it's any rifle barrel, I believe, isn't it? I mean, so that precludes muzzleloaders and rifle shot.
Yeah, and then archery hunting, you know, I've never heard of anybody archery hunting inside the city limits. I'd have to look into that.
See, that was the answer I had. Duh.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd have to look into it.
I know we're getting the deer are pressing closer and closer. I mean, around the edges of the city and inside the city, you know. And so, State Farm, aren't they the ones that released the coyotes here to control the deer population?
We're just covering all the good stuff here, first thing, aren't we? Yeah, no.
You know,
coyotes have come to Maryland on their own. You know, we're getting them from the north and the south.
We are.
But they were typically a western species. And
we had that question come up a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know if you listened to any of the podcast or not, but I asked the question. Other than the insurance companies and DNR and the farmers, who brought in coyotes into Maryland? Other than migration, and we, you know, the farmers didn't bring them in.
Right.
Obviously. DNR obviously didn't bring them in. State Farm didn't. None of the insurance companies brought them in.
No.
You know, our deer population is just, you know, it is what it is, and the coyote population is what it is. But there were coyotes introduced years ago into Maryland. Do you know how?
No, I don't.
Horsemen.
For
chasing.
Really?
Yeah. Horsemen would pay trappers extravagant amounts of money to go west, trap live coyotes, bring them to Maryland for chasing, and foxes.
I wonder if they were really foxes. I know it's really popular with foxes. I wonder were the coyotes released into the wild, or were they?
Into these chases.
That's interesting.
You know,
and
of course a coyote will outrun anything it. You know, great sport for the dogs, and far harder to catch than the. A fox, so therefore greater sport.
Interesting. I never heard that.
And a trapper from the Eastern Shore actually provided the answer to that. I knew the answer, but confirmed that. So, I can't tell you when it was. Might have been the 50s, 60s, 70s, somewhere back
then. Yeah, I wonder. I doubt that it was authorized.
I don't believe
by
so.
By DNR?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, probably
not. It was probably some wealthy landowners that enjoyed the steeplechase sort of thing.
I doubt that they took hold. I think the population we have now is
Eastern coyotes. Sure,
is what's coming.
Sure,
you know what I mean. It's what's migrating.
No doubt. I mean, we went up to New England last week and up on the 84, outside of Wilkes-Barre or Scranton or one of those places out there. There was a roadkill coyote. You don't see them often. I've seen them in the Lewisburg area, and I've seen them up that way. But you know. Tremendous population in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we actually pick up several every year on 70 out in Washington County.
I have no doubt.
I picked one up last year. Yep. Yeah, we have a pretty good population in Washington County.
Yeah, Washington, Frederick County. Yeah. We've seen them. Yeah. I mean, we've seen them in the fields out there.
Yeah, so. We have them in every county in Maryland.
Yep.
So, you know, Pennsylvania.
We've actually hunted them in Howard County.
Yeah.
Had a couple show up, you know, answer the call.
They're smart.
They're very smart.
Yeah, they're smart. And that's why they're so hard to control, and that's why. you wouldn't see any state agency purposely bring them in.
No, because, of course not. No.
Because they have a lot of non-wildlife-related problems associated with them, you know, from an agricultural standpoint. Like you said, farmers definitely do not want coyotes.
No, they don't want them for their
livestock sheep farmers,
and,
right?
And sheep and calves, you know, and that type of thing, and chickens and the whole deal. So.
Right.
So. And, of course, even though, you know, we like domestic wildlife, we don't like it nearly as much as coyotes do.
Right.
They do like to have they do like to seize those little cats and dogs off the out of people's yards and off their
But, you know, I guess the point to end with coyotes is, it's, you know, from a deer standpoint, it's not the end of the world to have coyotes. I mean, they take some fawns.
Right.
They very rarely will take
I think that's the first time you've ever admitted that they take fawns.
No, they take fawns. I think I've always said they take fawns, but they don't take very many adults.
No.
And, you know, and the ecology, breeding ecology of deer, I mean, it's that way on purpose. They only breed for 2 weeks. So they can all drop those fawns.
All at the same time.
All at the same time.
Overwhelm all the
predators.
Saturate
the predators, yeah. Right. And, I mean, that's Mother Nature's way when it comes to deer. So
exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, and like you said at the beginning, we don't really have a shortage of deer in Maryland.
No.
So,
but in nature, I mean, that's pretty much everything in nature. The prey species are the ones that are extremely prolific, as the predators are the ones that are,
exactly,
you know, less prolific.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Hey, we did have a good bear season this year too.
Yes, we did. Yeah. Record number harvested. Yeah.
You know how many they killed in Pennsylvania on Saturday the first
day? How many?
1530.
Isn't that something?
In one day.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? So.
And we worry about killing like 90.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, now all of Pennsylvania versus
Western two counties of Maryland.
Two
of course.
A little bit of a difference there.
A lot of difference,
so, but. But yeah, we definitely have a good bear population,
yes,
no doubt,
indeed. And so. and continuing to grow.
Yes, yeah, and expand
and expand so, and expand. Yeah, yeah, it is. It
yeah.
is. So. Good. Well, we've pretty much covered that. So are we, John? We're done. Are we ready to go home?
Good enough. That was easy.
No, that was real quick, wasn't it? No, we've got a long show to go and a lot of good information to share. So we just wanted to welcome you, Brian, again.
Oh, thanks.
We'll give your official title now, finally.
Deer Project Leader.
Deer Project Leader for Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife and Heritage Service. He's the guy that's responsible for everything and anything that has to do with deer hunting in Maryland. Mm-hmm. And his name is Brian Eiler. His cell phone number is...
Well, let's see.
You don't want me to give that out?
What number can I give you?
555-0812.
My contact information is on the web page.
On the web page,
yeah,
of
on
course.
The web page.
Exactly right. That's pretty good. you're going to have to signal me, John, when it's time to take a break, and we'll do that. We want to do that now?
Yeah.
Why don't we do that now? Hey, the best new ATVs and side-by-sides of 2013 have arrived. They're at Pete's Cycle right now, just in time for the Polaris holiday sales event. You can get financing as low as 2.99% on all Polaris ATVs and side-by-sides, including the new 2013s. Plus, rebates up to $1,000 on select 2012 models. You heard right, kind of. Financing as low as 2.99% and rebates up to $1,000 on legendary sportsmen, the powerful Rangers, the razor-sharp Razors, and the industry's most complete collection of youth models. Hurry to Pete's Cycle Company in the town of Bel Air, Baltimore, and Severna Park before December 31st for low financing and huge rebates during the Polaris Holiday Sales Event. And don't miss our Polaris Holiday Sales Event Saturday, December 1st. That's next Saturday for even bigger savings at Pete's Cycle. Offer ends December 31st. Rebates vary by model, financing, and rates based on credit worthiness. See Pete's Cycle for details. ATVs can be hazardous to operate. Polaris adult models are for riders age 16 and older. Always wear a helmet. Be sure to take a training course. Polaris Rangers are not intended for on-road use. Big Buck Scents Cold Scent has a fast-growing reputation for attracting big Maryland bucks. Several friends of mine have used Cold Scent with great results. Big Bucks. Maryland's Eastern Shore is home to Big Buck Scents. Big Buck Cold Scent is different than those mass-produced bottles you see on every shelf. First, it's one deer to one bottle. That's a 4-ounce bottle, too. Plenty for the rut. Now, the deer urine is collected and immediately refrigerated. It's kept cold, and the vital elements will not break down and become less attractive. Trust me, there's a science behind all this. Big Buck Scents arrives at your local dealer cold in its own refrigerator. You keep it cold till you use it, and you will see the results. Try Cold Scent, Vanilla Bean, Doe in Heat, Dominant Buck, or Doe Pea in the 4-ounce bottle. For more information, visit the website BigBuckScents.com or visit your local dealer. Ask for and use Cold Scent by Big Buck Scents. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto. The National Rifle Association's Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show is coming to Frederick, Maryland, January 25th through 27th at the Frederick Fairgrounds. See over 200 hunting and fishing exhibitors, the NRA Great American Whitetail Collection, nationally known seminar speakers, the Mason-Dixon Big Buck Contest, and more. General admission, $10. NRA members, $8. Kids under 9 admitted free. Weekend passes are available. It's the 2013 NRA Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show, January 25th through 27th at the Frederick Fairgrounds. Visit NRAHuntingShow.org for more information. The Poole family continues the family tradition established by Sam Poole at Sam's Deer Processing in Finksburg. The full-service deer processing shop is located on Bollinger Mill Road off Route 32. Sam's Deer Processing has cut well over 40,000 deer. They know how to quickly skin, cool, and hang your deer as soon as possible for the best-tasting venison. They let your deer age to perfection, then cut it to your specifications. If you want deer jerky, deer sausage, deer hot dogs, deer snack sticks, smoked deer hams, and much more, take your deer to Sam's Deer Processing in Finksburg between Westminster and Eldersburg. Sam's Deer Processing also holds the secret recipe for Maryland's most popular deer bologna. Now, if you happen to bag that trophy buck, you're worried about where you can have the hide and cape safe for the taxidermist, Sam's can handle it. Sam's Deer Processing in Carroll County is the whole package, custom-cut venison with all the specialty venison products to last throughout the year. Take your deer to Sam's Deer Processing or call 410-795-4670. That's 410-795-4670 for Sam's Deer Processing in Finksburg.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Leaves are turning, there's a chill in the air. Campfires are burning, we're gathered round in chairs. Three generations of hunting in our veins, talking about what might happen on opening day.
Hey, we're back with Brian Eiler, your project leader.
Yeah.
You're the leader. Indeed. Let's get back to just briefly while you were on TV talking about roadkills, and we talked about how many there are out there and that type of thing. But traditionally, in the fall when the rut starts and the chasing starts, we talk about that. And I always tell our listeners, if you see one coming, don't slam on your brakes, especially if you're in a little car.
Exactly. I mean, that's our big message that we like to put out there. You know, you're far better off taking a chance on hitting the deer than you are to swerve and hit a tree or another vehicle
yeah.
or anything like that.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, most times when you hear of a fatality involving a deer, it's that they swerve to miss the deer and,
right.
you know, and bad things happen.
So. Well, when I tell people not to brake You know, and my always my word of advice has been drive through the deer.
Yeah.
Because if you brake, especially in a smaller car, you're going to catch that deer at the knee.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Throw that thing right up on your hood.
Right.
Right through your windshield.
Right.
And that could be really bad.
Yeah. Don't speed up. But
no. I mean, you know, unless you really need to meet.
Right,
no, I mean,
but
I didn't mean that.
But yeah, you know, you're better off. Definitely, you know. Hitting the deer, then, like you said, if you nose dive and bring it up over the hood,
that's not good either.
So, yeah, but unfortunately, you know, a lot of times you're just reacting, and you don't really have time to think about what you're even
exactly
doing,
the swerving thing. I mean, it's hard to control. Now, you know, that one on 70 last year. I'm doing speed limit 65, 70 miles an hour up 70, and when I saw it was in front of the right headlight coming from the right, I knew there was nothing I could do.
Carnage was going to happen.
Carnage to my truck and to the deer. And, you know, I just basically took my foot off the gas and hit the deer. And when I saw it last, it was rearview mirror level on my side.
Right.
So, you know, and then it went off on the median.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just kept driving. The headlight went out and, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, this time of the year, you know.
Yeah. All the guys on the road right now,
yeah.
Hey, guys, just be careful out there.
Yeah,
don't
careful.
Get your deal with your truck.
Right.
So, all right. We have had a couple of deer seasons underway. We had the archery season. Do we have any preliminary numbers on it?
Overall, it's a little slow this year compared to last year for the same time. We're down maybe 5%. There's a lot of acorns out there, and we have had some weather events.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really surprise me that we're down a little bit. But
right.
We had a good youth weekend there 2 weekends ago. We were down about 10% for that. They killed roughly 2,600 deer for the 2 days.
That's
so still
good.
a really good year.
That's a good year.
That's the second highest harvest on record for the kids. So,
good.
We added that Sunday, you know, last year. And, boy, I tell you that, they really taking advantage of that. So
yeah, well, they normally get about 400 or 500 on that Sunday,
So that's a good deal. Muzzleloader was a little slow. We were down maybe 10% in muzzleloader season. But overall, you know, we have a new license system and a new check-in system with Compass. The online check-in, you know, different now.
Oh, you really wanted to get me started, didn't you?
Yeah. And,
thanks, Brian.
But we're, you know, it'll take us a little bit of time to adjust for that and figure out what's going on. And they're still tweaking that system as well. So, so we'll find out.
Is that all you want to say about that?
Yeah. That's going to be a good system.
Uh-huh.
It is. Anytime you do a drastic change like this, you can expect some growing pains. And
which is, I actually have had no problem on the phone.
Same phone deal. Phone's pretty much the same.
Fine. Yeah. The online thing, you and I have talked about this. We both had trouble getting into the system. And if you have trouble getting into the system, you gave me a good tip, and that was use your birth date.
Yeah.
And log in that way, and it tends to go a little smoother.
They're still tweaking that, and they're still working on it. So, like I said, it is going to be a better system, especially for me with data management and all.
Right.
You know, like I said, there's some growing pains, but I would expect to, you know, it's going to get better. And give it a year or two, and it'll be just like we were checking deer with the phone and the internet.
Right.
I mean, if you remember, we switched to telephone and internet in 2005. And
I do remember.
The sky was falling then as well. So, I mean, you can expect some issues.
Well, you're in the mix. You're the one that has to work with the system. So, we just have to play with it on occasion and be annoyed.
But our number one goal is to give everybody something that's usable.
And like I said, we're
constantly tweaking.
Well,
that.
The phone system works fine as long as you have your numbers in front of you.
Right.
And one tip I always like to do is, you know, I hunt different areas, so I've written down on a card in my license. We now have to carry a license holder because licenses are pretty crummy paper now. So I carry a license holder with my license and my shooting qualification card and a copy of my DNR ID number and my photo ID, like I'm supposed to have my written permission. It all fits right in the holder and, you know, a couple extra tags and things like that. But I have a little card there with the county codes and the land codes for every area
I hunt. That's a good idea.
So I don't, you know, I'm not delayed when I'm there looking through the book or waiting for a book or,
right.
you know, that type of thing. So I've got, you know, if I'm hunting Cecil County property A or if I'm hunting Frederick County property B, whatever it is, I've got the county code.
Right.
I think it's 01 through 23.
Yep.
It?
Yep.
And then the land code, which is a 3-digit number.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that written down for where you hunt, you do that ahead of time, you do a little pre-planning,
right.
makes it much easier.
Right, yeah, it goes real smooth. So.
Yeah, I mean, you just click that in and hit the pound sign, and away you go.
Yeah. So. Just remember, you know, use that DNR ID. You know, when you have your hunting license, it still shows that L, which is a bigger, longer number
right.
now.
Right, if you have your you DNR know, ID, it's much easier.
Yeah, use your DNR
it's
ID.
It's like a 6- or 7-digit number.
Yeah, and the phone asks, you know, whether the phone, when you call in on the phone, it says enter your DNR ID.
ID number.
Don't use that license
long
number.
L number.
Yeah, you use the DNR ID for everything. You know, that's going to be fishing, you know, if you camping reservations, anything. It's going to be your permanent number from here on out. And landowners need one of those DNR IDs.
Are they going to tattoo that in my hand or on my forehead?
The budget probably won't permit that. So we'll have to rely on that regular photocopy paper for that. But landowners also, you know, need a DNR ID. In the past, if you were a landowner hunting on your own land without a license, you wanted to check your deer, you just entered the last four of your Social Security and your zip code. Well, now, you know, it's free. You know, you can go to
still hunt on your own land for nothing.
Yeah, still hunt on your own.
The best idea is to get a DNR ID.
And the DNR ID number is free, and you only have to do it once. But but it's just a better system for us. It'll eliminate a little bit of abuse.
Do you get the phone calls complaining about having to use your Social Security number?
I got a couple of them, but the license vendors definitely, I'm sure, took most of that. And you know, that's a federal law, and that has always.
I'm shocked.
That has always been required to buy a Maryland DNR, you know, to buy a Maryland hunting license. You've always been required to provide a SOC. But unfortunately, the old license software, the COIN software, allowed the vendors to bypass that. So that's why most hunters were never asked for a Social Security number in the past. It's not because the license system didn't ask for it. It's just because the software allowed the vendor to bypass it. And so we were technically violating probably federal law. There's a deadbeat dad provision where that's one of the main.
That's the main thing.
It's a whole, I mean, there's a whole deal with it.
If you haven't paid your state tax, if you haven't paid your sales tax, if you haven't paid your business tax, if you owe the state some money and they find out that you bought a hunting license, they're going to come after
I don't know. I'm
pretty sure.
I don't know. I really don't know. I just know, like I said.
Can I register to boat if I buy a hunting license?
I don't know. So, I don't know. But now you made me lose my train of thought.
I'm sorry. You were talking about the DNR ID and
all
that.
I can't remember what I was.
Well, saying. We'll come back to it. That's all right. No problem. I do that occasionally.
Yeah.
Try to ask tough questions.
Yeah, that's all right.
Hey, I only get you in here
once or twice a year.
I got to ask those driving questions.
I'm just glad I didn't get up at 3:00 this morning to come down here. I'd be really bad shape.
We were talking about Social Security number.
Yeah.
Probably violating federal law. That's where you were with your train of thought.
Well, I know identity theft is a big concern.
Exactly.
But you know, you can't get a credit card without a Social Security number. You gave your Social Security number to the DMV when you got your driver's license.
Yep.
It's a one-time deal.
Yeah.
So
if you think they don't have you on record,
you're
sorely mistaken.
Yeah, it's, you know, and like I said, and DNR is not out to go after you for not paying your, say, state sales tax.
No, DNR is not going to do that.
That's a federal law, and it's always been required. It's just that this software, they made it so that you have to comply with it.
I got you.
Which I understand.
Look, people, you know, I get these calls all the time.
Yeah, I know. It is what it is, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, that's our system.
Yeah, it is.
It's
the day and age
more and more invasive, and that's not your fault. You guys are big government.
Playing by the rules, unfortunately.
You're big government.
Yeah, we're playing by the rules.
Yeah, so, well, on to something more pleasant.
Now that you got everybody.
Now that I got everybody jacked up and you talk. Yeah. Hey, yeah. Now, all right. Stop talking among yourselves. And
you wonder why I wouldn't give my cell phone number earlier.
I can't imagine. Hey, we're coming up on a break here, but I do want to, when we come back, I want to talk about the bag limits. We've got a change in the buck bag limits this year. Not in the in the doe limits too. A little bit
in the doe limits. Yeah.
So we'll talk about that and figure out how that goes here in a little bit. But to review, the youth numbers were 2,600.
About 2,600. It was a good
down a little bit.
About 10%. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So then the muzzleloader numbers were off about 10% as well.
And
primarily weather-related.
Yeah, weather-related. So, like I said, these numbers are all preliminary. Once we get everything in at the end of the season, we'll tweak and adjust, and clean things up. And so, but yeah, I'd say we're going to be down a little bit this year, probably the way it looks. Unless,
firearm season,
weather's looking really good for firearm season, so we could very easily make it up in firearm season.
Very well could turn out to be
season. You look at the early seasons being down, but really, I mean, that just means there's more deer out there running around for the coming 2 weeks is what that...
Always an optimist, aren't you?
Yeah, that's kind of the way it goes.
Well, you talked about a big acorn crop, too, and that's starting to be depleted now, coming into December.
Yeah, but man, there was a lot of them out there.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you hunt those oak flats and the ridges, you might just do pretty well.
So. Yeah, don't rely on that corn quite as much. Look for those oak trees. You might have a little better luck.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about CWD, corn, and baiting, and urine-based scents, and all that stuff. Don't let me forget that. But right now, it's time for me to tell you about Clyde Sport Shop, your hunting headquarters, and your Browning full-line dealer. They've got the BPS Hunter, the best pump shotgun available in 12, 16, 20, 28, and 410, with three Invector chokes in each of those models. Nice gun, really pretty gun. A bottom ejection goes with that. For deer hunters, the X-Bolt high-powered rifle, extremely accurate bolt action, big game hunting perfection. All standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers. That it has an adjustable feather trigger and a detachable rotary magazine. That's the X-Bolt high-powered rifle. And for waterfowlers, it's the Maxxis autoloader shotgun for waterfowl hunters. 3 and 3.5 inch chambers, new power drive, gas-driven system, reduces recoil. Available in Mossy Oak duck blind camo. It's Clyde Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Why not give them a call, 410-242-6108, 242-6108 for Clyde Sport Shop. The website is clydesports.com, full-line gunsmithing, scope mounting, and more. Clyde Sport Shop. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. It's the Doe Harvest Challenge. Deer hunters, by legally harvesting a doe and donating the meat, you not only feed hungry people in Maryland and please local farmers by reducing crop damage, now you could win valuable prize packages this season. Doe Harvest Challenge offers $5,500 in prizes with 18 chances to win. This contest is limited to 13 counties. If you hunt in Carroll, Frederick, Anne Arundel, Calvert, Charles, St. Mary's, or Prince George's counties, or in Queen Anne's, Kent, Caroline, Talbot, Dorchester, Wicomico counties on the shore, and you harvest a doe, all you have to do is donate your deer through participating FHFH deer processor. Every 3 weeks, an up to $300 winner will be drawn in each of the three regions, plus a $500 grand prize package to one lucky hunter in each region. Participating deer processors have entry cards to fill out in their shops. You can enter every doe you donate within the Region B bag limits all season long. The 2012 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Farm Bureau, Maryland Great Grain Producers Utilization Board, the Maryland Soybean Board, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, contact the Maryland Farm Bureau, 410-922-3426. The Buck Bomb is the hottest deer scent technology on the market. The Buck Bomb is pure deer urine manufactured in an aerosol spray. Now, the Buck Bomb, distributed in this molecular form, gives whitetails the opportunity to follow the scent trail to your stand site. The delivery rate and the large broadcast area cannot be duplicated with liquid, solid, or gel scents. Buck Bomb Doe Pea and Vanilla Curiosity work well any time to disguise your odor. Pick up a can of Young Buck or Acorn Rage for the bow season. For early muzzle loader, the dominant buck scent will challenge other bucks to seek you out. And now the heart of the rut through firearm season, try Doe and Estrus or Bone Collector Buck Bomb. Visit your local outdoor retailer, or you can order online at buckbomb.com. Learn more about the Buck Bomb, or you can call 866-850-6653. And fishermen, you can try the new Fish Bomb Menhaden Quick Slick from the makers of Buck Bomb. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart, increase your odds with the Buck Bomb. If you love the great outdoors, you'll love the National Rifle Association's Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show. It's 3 big days of hunting and fishing excitement, January 25th through the 27th at the Eventplex at the Frederick Fairgrounds in Frederick, Maryland. See over 200 hunting and fishing exhibitors, the NRA Great American Whitetail Collection, nationally known seminar speakers, the Mason-Dixon Big Buck Contest, and more. The first 200 attendees each day receive a free Drury Outdoors DVD. General admission, $10. NRA members, $8. Children under 9 admitted free. Weekend passes are available. Renew your NRA membership at the show for $35 and receive a free weekend pass to show. It's the 2013 NRA Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show, 1 to 7 p.m. on Friday, January 25th, 9 to 7 on Saturday the 26th, and 9 to 5 on Sunday, January 27th at the Frederick Fairgrounds in Frederick. Visit NRAHuntingShow.org for more information. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Unique analysis on local, national, and international developments on the Tom Marr Show, weekdays 9 to noon on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is a pre-recorded show, so we're not taking any calls today, but we have Brian Eiler here with us from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. He's the Deer Project Leader for the Wildlife and Heritage Service, and we've hit a number of subjects all the way through here so far, but we want to talk about one thing that's particularly important for saving your own life, and that's tree stand safety. I don't care if it's a ladder stand, a climber stand, a lock-on stand with steps.
Or exactly.
Whatever it might be.
Right. I mean, if you want to ruin a good hunt fast, you know, just
fall.
Fall.
That'll do it.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, that'll pretty much end your day.
Yeah, and, yeah. You know, and that, you know, and not only, you know, wear a harness in the stand, but, you know, most of the accidents actually happen going up or coming down. So, you know, invest in a safety line and learn how to use it. And it could save your life. I mean, you hate that cliche, but
yeah. But the safety line with the prussic knot is
right.
What you're talking about.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
That's highly recommended. It's available on the videos available on the DNR website.
Yeah, you know, you can make your own.
You can make
your own.
You're
not talking
a
lot of money, you know. And like I said, it could. You know, it's just you can't stress enough. I mean, every year, you know, we have fatalities.
We had one this year in Charles County.
Yeah, related to people falling out of tree stands. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, for a lot of years, I thought I was invincible, and it's like, this isn't going to happen to me. But, you know, you just don't know.
So, how old are you, Brian?
43. So,
43. Any kids?
Yep, two kids. 11 and 8. So, yeah, you know, and I want to be around the...
Talked to a young man in Charles County last week. Pulled into a butcher shop, and there were two guys getting out. They were, you know, picking up a deer, and a teenage daughter in the back seat. Very, you know, enthusiastic gang of hunters. Listened to the show, and there's a wheelchair in the back. young guy like yourself, yeah, falling out of a tree stand.
Yeah. You so, know, I mean,
just, lost the use of his legs for the rest of his life, basically, until there's some, you know, technology that can help him out. And still an avid hunter, but it changes his whole outlook on hunting. And, you know, and I've talked to, I can't tell you how many guys that have fallen, you know, 6 feet, 10 feet, broken ankles, you know, surgeries, ended their hunting season and that type of thing. It's not just the fatalities we worry about, although, you know, we've had one this year. There was one year we had three or four.
Two years ago, I think it was really a bad year.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
And yeah, I actually fell out once.
You did?
I wasn't hunting. I was actually trapping deer for one of our research projects. Mm-hmm. And luckily it was Sika deer, and I was on the marsh. Mm-hmm. And so I had a saw, something soft. But I was coming down. I, you know, pulled and released the net, and I was in a hurry to get down and, mm-hmm. and get to those deer. I hit the first step. It was a ladder stand, about 16-foot ladder stand, and I hit the first step and went for the second step, and down I went.
Wasn't there, huh?
Wasn't there. So mm-hmm. I mean, just happened in the blink of an eye. But like I said, luckily it was a soft bottom, so mm-hmm. I was sore. I was still sore the next day.
I have no doubt.
That. And I was a lot younger then too.
Sure.
And, but yeah, it can just happen. You know.
I mean, you've got guys that try to catch themselves on their legs, and that's even worse. But. Yeah.
But like I said, you know, the safety line is a big part of it, you know. I mean, being buckled in while you're up there.
Being buckled in is a good thing. The safety line, when you climb up and down, it locks up and catches you right there.
Yeah, just slide, you know, it can just slide. It just slides as you're going up and down. You know, if you set it up right, you know, it's really not a hindrance or anything. And, it can be a pain, but it definitely... Definitely worth investing in.
And I'll tell you, some of the tree stands, I'm scared to death of a platform stand. Yeah. You know, I don't like those climbing sticks. And I have a climber that I use. It's a safe one, and I've used that same brand for years and years and years. But, you know, even that is not safe enough in itself. You've got to wear that harness.
You've got to wear
it. And like we talked to Phil Norman earlier, you know, you're required to be strapped in during those managed hunts.
Yeah.
What is your life worth?
Right.
Is your life worth $150 system? Yeah, it's worth the $150. Yeah. You know, what would you, if you're laying in a hospital bed laid up with broken ankles or broken back or something like that, and you look back on it, you say, what I would give to invest that $150 now and be strapped in?
Right.
You know, and...
You know,
and there are some harnesses you can buy for less money, right?
Right.
$100.
There's a lot. And I mean, and when you look at what you spend for guns and ammo and gas and, you know, I mean, really.
It's a very inexpensive.
It's just a small percentage of it.
And you say that harness is going to be good for 10 years. So, you know, $15 a year, that's pretty good life insurance.
Yeah, and you know, they have the harnesses that are integrated into vests now. Yep. You know, I mean, and so, the technology and the ease of use has come a long way.
Well. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, so, I mean. So, everybody wear, you know, if you're going to be in a tree stand.
Wear your harness.
Be safe, wear a harness. So.
Very good. Yep. Firearm safety. Let's talk a little bit about that while we're doing safety. I was in New England, as I mentioned, and the well-established case of the woman who was hanging up her laundry wearing white gloves during deer season and was shot fatally by a hunter. And I still don't know where it was. I can't remember if it was Maine or it was Massachusetts. I don't remember, but
I know there was one. I think in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts,
that's the same. Yeah, if that's the one I'm thinking
about.
Well,
if it was, it was in Westford, which is where we were, which is where we were staying. And the woman, you know, had white gloves on. She's out hanging up laundry and going through the motions. A deer hunter's in nearby woods. He sees white and he fires, and a fatality results.
Yeah.
Just because something's white in the woods doesn't necessarily mean, or near the woods, doesn't mean it's a white-tailed deer.
Right.
And taking a shot at a white-tailed deer that's fleeing anyway is a stupid idea.
Yeah. You know, be sure of your shots.
Exactly.
Know, go back to that hunter safety course, you know, and remember that. And, you know, just because it's brown and white doesn't mean it's a deer.
Exactly. It could be a guy in his Carhartt.
Right. And, you know, and the other thing is, even you know, most of our, you know, deer hunting's on private land. Just because you're on private land,
that's right,
doesn't necessarily mean there's not somebody else.
That's right.
That's there. You know, exactly. I mean, maybe they shouldn't be, but yeah, you know. So be safe. I mean, it's not worth a life.
Identify your target. Do not shoot at a deer that's skylined with the chance of your bullet going through or over the deer and striking something on the other side. It's all basic stuff.
Yeah.
As far as firearm safety is concerned, you know, make sure that safety's on. but always check. Always, always, always check it. As they tell you in hunter safety classes, a mechanical safety on your firearm is like any other piece of machinery and subject to fail at some time or another.
Exactly.
And you just got to be extremely careful with where you've got that muzzle pointed. You don't lean your loaded gun on a car. It can fall down and go off and kill somebody, and it's just not a good plan. So please remember your firearm safety. Watch what direction that muzzle's pointed. Make sure that gun's empty. It's actually illegal to lay a loaded firearm on or against a vehicle.
Right.
It's considered a loaded firearm in a vehicle, exactly. Same violation.
Can't carry one on an ATV loaded. Not on a vehicle.
Yep. So we just want to put that reminder out there, and hopefully it'll spark something in somebody that'll potentially avert a bad situation.
Yeah.
All right. We've changed a little bit of our bag limits in Region B this year. A stayed pretty much the same.
Well, the buck bag limits.
Buck bag limits.
Yeah, impacts both because we have a statewide buck bag.
Let's talk about Region A first.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have a statewide buck bag limit.
Right.
Before it was regional.
Separate.
Yeah. Right. So, the buck bag limit is now a statewide limit. We did that. We had a lot of requests. We've had a lot of requests over the recent years to start moving more towards reduce that buck limit, and if you compare Maryland with a lot of other states, we did have a very liberal buck bag limit, 9 bucks,
if
you hunt in both regions. Yeah. So, we listened, we're starting to move in that direction.
You used to be able to kill a deer in western Maryland.
Yeah, you could
kill a buck in three over there and three
six,
here. And
three bonus, so you could kill nine. So so now you can kill, now you can kill four, which is still a very big buck bag.
That's true. I see these other states. I mean, in Maine, for example, a state that, people think about great deer hunting in Maine. It ain't that great.
Yeah. They don't
deer.
Yeah, they don't have a high deer density.
Pennsylvania is one deer unless you have extra bonus antlerless tags.
And it's only 1 buck. Yeah,
1 buck. Yeah.
So a statewide bag limit now. So if you kill it in A, it counts
towards
B.
B and A.
So you can kill one with each weapon, one with archery, one with muzzleloader, one with firearm. And then if you're in B, hunting in B, you can take one bonus buck in the season of your choice.
Right.
You have to buy the bonus tag, and you have to kill 2 antlerless deer.
Right.
Prior to taking that second
and
buck.
we see these guys that are diehard bow hunters. They want to hunt the rut. They want to kill big bucks, and they're killing their does or killing 2 bucks, but they're done in archery season.
Right.
Right.
And and the order doesn't matter. I get that question a lot. Do I have to kill a buck and then 2 does and another buck? No. You can get your does out of the way early if you want, and then go after 2 bucks, or you can kill a buck doe.
What's different this year also is you can kill a doe and archery season, you can kill doe in muzzleloader season, and still get your bonus buck tag, and it's good for firearm season.
Right. In the past, it was within the season.
Within the season.
Yeah, if you wanted to use a bonus firearm tag, you had to kill 2 does
in firearm season.
Now, those 2 does, you can kill them in whatever season you want.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and then you
counts.
Can get your bonus buck tag. And,
right.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And it's going to be a good thing. Like I said, I think it's a step in the right direction.
I think hunters are in full agreement with it. I do. Which brings up the pursuit of a trophy buck. I've heard more, Brian, this year. Now, we've passed the wildlife protection, poaching, wildlife, what's the act called?
The
anti-poaching law this year. The Wildlife Protection, Poaching Protection Act, something like that. Poaching Prevention Act.
Poaching Prevention.
Yes, we passed that in this General Assembly, which gives the department administrative power for someone who's violated the law, which means they can revoke, they can suspend, they can increase fines, they can seize property. A lot of teeth in that law. But I'm hearing more and more reports of guys just blatantly poaching bucks this year.
I don't,
I know. It's
how
every
much
year.
I hear it every year. And I honestly, I haven't heard.
What's worse is the fact that the department, the Natural Resource Police, are so overwhelmed that there's a case right now that I heard about buck was killed in a yard next to public hunting area. Buck laid there. The homeowner was distraught, and so the Natural Resources Police hotline was called. The Catch a Poacher hotline was called. No response. Are you not sending somebody? No, we're too busy. What do you mean you're too busy? There's a dead trophy buck laying in my yard. What do you mean you're too busy to come out and investigate? The only thing we can do is increase the patrols.
Hmm.
Well, that may be helpful to some degree, mm-hmm. but there's evidence here. There may be a bullet in this animal. There, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So landowner took action on his own, left the deer, pulled it aside, set up a trail camera. The guy comes back to cut the head off or whatever it might mm-hmm. be, smile. And, you know, these are the kind of things that landowners are doing, but that it also points out the fact that, you know, our natural resources police are stretched so thinly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're all on water duty right now. They're all looking for oyster poachers.
Yeah, it's...
rather than, you know, protecting our deer resources here in deer season. And, yeah. and you're not commenting, and I don't expect you to, but we needed to get this out.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, you know, you just got to separate the rumors, though, from the facts. And it happens, no doubt. There's cases out there every
exactly.
year. But, you know, a lot of times I find that, you know, there's a lot of rumors out there as well that he told me that.
That's one I know for a fact.
Yeah, you
know,
sometimes I don't think it's as bad as what it may seem. But there's no question that we're stretched then.
Very stretched.
You know, and you know, if you want to cover another controversial topic, the license increase.
Let's talk about when we come back in the next hour. But right now it's time for me to tell our listeners the best new ATVs and side-by-sides of 2013 have arrived. They're at Pete's Cycle right now, just in time for the Polaris Holiday Sales Event. You can get financing as low as 2.99% on all Polaris ATVs and side-by-sides, including the new 2013s. Plus, rebates up to $1,000 on select 2012 models. You heard right. Financing as low as 2.99% and rebates up to $1,000 on legendary sportsmen, powerful rangers, razor-sharp razors, and the industry's most complete collection of youth models. Hurry to Pete's Cycle Company in the town of Bel Air, Baltimore, and Severna Park before December 31st for low financing and huge rebates during the Polaris Holiday Sales Event. And don't miss the Polaris Holiday Sales Event Saturday, December 1st. That's next Saturday for even bigger savings. See PeteCycle.com for the details on that. Offer ends December 31st. Rebates vary by model. Financing and rates based on credit worthiness. See Pete's Cycle for details. ATVs can be hazardous to operate. Polaris adult models for riders age 16 and older. Always wear a helmet. Be sure to take a training course. Polaris Rangers are not intended for on-road use. Clyde Sports Shop is your hunting headquarters, not only for Browning, but they carry every type of firearm that you can need, want, or imagine. Handguns, rifles, shotguns, not only for hunting, but for home protection as well. They carry the AR rifles. They carry the semi-automatic handguns for personal protection and all the ammunition. They've got the expertise. They know how to do the paperwork. They can get your firearm to you as quickly as legally possible, and you can be out the door and be at the range at your convenience. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Give them a call, 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. ClydeSports.com is the website. Go get them.